Today is Palm Sunday. It is the sixth Sunday of Lent, the final Sunday before Easter. Those things you all know already. And I'm sure you already all know the stories that are surrounding this upcoming week. But I suppose it's never a bad thing to remind ourselves of exactly the events that surrounded Jesus' final week as a human being on earth. It's appropriate then to remind ourselves of the stories of the Passion and what each of those events might mean to each and every one of us. And so I wanted to take kind of a different way of reminding us of the Passion story this morning and pull out seven different symbols that represent each of the major events of the Passion week and walk through them together. The very first symbol I'm sure you can see on the altar already. Actually, it is dangling from the altar. It is a palm branch. And you know that the palm branch represents Palm Sunday, that very day when Jesus walked into Jerusalem riding on the back of a young colt, a donkey, a colt that had never been ridden before. And you can almost imagine in your minds the scene that was taking place as Jesus rode through Jerusalem and saw what he saw. The people waving branches like this one, throwing their cloaks on the ground and screaming, shouting out their praise. The word in the scriptures that the people cried out was the word Hosanna. An interesting word. It is a word that in the original language meant save us, help us. Now, why would they say that? Because they were looking at Jesus to be their Savior from the political oppression of Rome. They needed Jesus to come to Jerusalem and raise an army and then march off to Rome and overthrow the emperor so that the Palestinian people could be free. The Jewish people could be under bondage no more. And when they saw Jesus come into the city, they knew for sure that Jesus was coming to free them politically. But did Jesus do that? Jesus didn't do that at all. He didn't raise an army. He didn't try to overthrow Rome. Jesus indeed had come to be their Savior, but had come to be their political Savior. Not to be their political Savior, but to be their spiritual Messiah. The palm branch represents for us this morning the different expectations that we might have of God, and the times that we have been disappointed when God has not acted the way we wanted God to act. It is a story that reminds us that sometimes God is free to do whatever God wants and can choose to not follow the agendas that we have. Later on that week, we encounter the second symbol. The symbol of the cup and the bread. It is the final night before Jesus was to die, and the way Jesus chose to commemorate that would be to have a final meal, to invite some of his closest friends and join together in an upper room. And he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks to God and gave it to his disciples and said that this bread would be a symbol of the body that he would break, that would be sacrificed for them. And he took the cup, and in it was some wine, and said that this would be the blood that he would shed for his disciples. Cryptic words. Do you think that the disciples had any idea what these things really meant? Probably not. But Jesus knew something. Jesus knew that he wouldn't be with them for long as a human being. And he wanted to give them one final lesson. This great teacher wanted to teach them that even after he would leave this earth, he would still be with them. And so, through the bread and the wine, as we take them together, we remember God's constant presence with us. That even though Jesus would no longer be with them, Jesus would still be with them. The bread and the wine, the cup and the bread remind us of God's constant presence through all that we go through. Earlier that evening, we discover one of my favorite events in the entire life of Jesus. Where as they gathered together, Jesus took a basin and he took a towel and he did a remarkable thing. He filled it with water and he stooped down, got down real low, and he washed each and every one of the disciples' feet. Wow. What an incredible thing. You know, walking through the dusty streets of that day, your feet would get dirty. You're wearing sandals and the sun would scorch your feet. And it was usually up to the servants, the slaves of the household, to wash your feet when you came in. It was a gesture of hospitality, of kindness. But what did Jesus, this great leader, decide to do? He decided to assume the role of the lowly servant. Yet another lesson that this great man would leave with his disciples. That if you want to be first, you've got to be last. If you want to be great, you've got to serve. And so the basin and the towel remind us that the church should not be divided. The church should not bicker. The church should not argue about who's number one. The church should assume the basin and the towel and serve and love one another. Well, this next symbol, you'll have to stretch with me a little bit. It is a rooster. And now I know that some of you have roosters where you live, and I thought about asking some of you to come bring a rooster to church, but I'd... Yeah, you have a rooster, don't you, Julia? Oh, okay. Was it tasty? Okay. Okay. Well, we'll stop there then. Anyway, I didn't know how out of hand a rooster in the church would get. I thought about dressing up Casey with a red comb on his head and letting him go. But anyway, this is a picture of a rooster that I downloaded off the internet as well, and it is to symbolize. You know that roosters are there. They're one of the first to wake up in the morning and to signal the day and to get the day started. Well, a rooster like this was within earshot of Governor Pilate's courtyard. And sure enough, there was a rooster that was crowing early that morning, that Friday morning. Significant when you find out the events surrounding that rooster's crow. That the night before, Peter had told Jesus, "I will never leave your side. I will always be faithful to you. I will not drift away." Jesus must have known something about Peter. Must have known something about human beings in general. That when temptations come, even the best intentions of the best Christians fall short. Because Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny that you ever knew me three times." And sure enough, as Peter was sitting, warming himself by the fire in the courtyard, someone asked him, "Hey, Peter, don't you know that man who was on trial inside the court?" And three times Peter said, "I don't know that man." And after the third time, a rooster like this one crowed. What a terrible moment for Peter. And what a terrible moment it is for us. Whenever we try to do something good for God, whenever we feel like we've discerned rightly God's will in our lives, whenever we go through the right motions and feel like we're doing the right things, only to realize that we fall short in our efforts, how disappointed we feel, and how disappointed God must feel, until we realize that God freely flows with forgiveness and grace. And that even though we fail, God's grace doesn't. The rooster reminds us of good intentions and second chances. Well, what was happening inside that court? Well, there was a judge. His name was Pilate. Jesus had been brought before the religious authorities, and the evidence was laid out that Jesus was a blasphemer in the Jewish community. That Jesus was claiming to be God. And that was a crime punishable by death in the Jewish community. But ultimately, the one who would decide Jesus' death would be a Roman. And Romans didn't care about blasphemers. Romans cared about insurrections, about people who were causing trouble, rocking the boat. And so the charge that was laid upon Jesus before Pilate as he was wielding a judge's gavel, work with me, this is supposed to be a judge's gavel, is insurrection. That Jesus was a troublemaker. That he was trying to flip the Roman world upside down and do things that a normal citizen shouldn't. And so this judge had a choice. Pilate could go with what he believed in his heart, which was that Jesus was an innocent man, or he could listen to what the crowds were saying. Those very same crowds who just 5 days ago had cried out, "Hosanna," were now crying, "Crucify him." And the temptation was too great for Pilate. Instead of going with what he believed in his heart, he listened to his peers and to the crowds. The judge's gavel symbolizes a decision that each one of us have to make about who Jesus is. Is Jesus the Son of God that he claims to be? Is he the Messiah that he wants to be for us? Or do we listen to those around us, to the world, who says that he is nothing, he is a nobody? Don't listen to him. The judge's gavel is the decision that we all must make. Pilate decided that he was guilty and decided that he must die. And so Jesus was sentenced to die on a cross, but the road to get to that cross was even more painful than it sounds. He was beaten and he was whipped. He was spat upon by Roman guards. He was stripped of his clothing and made to wear a mocking purple robe because that's what royalty wore. And then he was placed on a cross, and there were three nails that were used to hold him to that cross. This bucket of nails reminds us of the pain and suffering that Jesus went through. On that cross, there was a sign that said, "Here is the King of the Jews," another mocking reminder of the guilty verdict that was over his head. This symbol reminds us that Jesus experienced real pain. You remember back at Christmas when we rejoiced in this innocent little baby on a silent holy night? Remember what we said? We said that Jesus came down to live exactly like human beings. And now, come Easter, we realize what we really meant by that. That Jesus experienced real pain. Real physical pain with the driving of the nails through his two hands and through his feet. But he also experienced real emotional pain as each one of his disciples fell away from him. Loneliness. He experienced real spiritual pain as he thought to himself that God had forsaken him. Brothers and sisters, when we say that Jesus lived like us, that's what we mean. That no matter what we go through in our lives with our pain and our suffering, through all of the physical and emotional tragedy that we go through, we can say that Jesus has been there and he's done that. And we have someone who has gone before us who knows what it's like to go what we're going through, to go through what we're going through now. This bucket of nails reminds us that with all of the pain and suffering we go through, Jesus understands. The final symbol this morning is a white sheet. Jesus died on a Friday, and a man named Joseph offered to take the body because he had a brand new tomb, a tomb that had never had a body placed in it before. And so they took Jesus' dead body and wrapped it in a white linen sheet, probably not too different from this one. And there he was buried in that new tomb, and a stone was rolled away, was rolled in front of that tomb, just to make sure that those disciples wouldn't come and steal the body and claim that Jesus had risen again. And just to make doubly sure of that, not only was that great big stone put in front of that tomb, but there were two guards placed in front of that tomb to make sure that the body stayed there. You might think this is the end of the story. I mean, after all, isn't that the way it is for human beings? We're born, we live our lives, we experience real pain and suffering, and then we die. That white sheet reminds us of the inevitability that each one of us face, that death is a part of life, and that human life is a frail, frail thing. But throughout all of these seven symbols, we need to remember that there is one more symbol to add. That the remarkable story of Easter is that there is one more part of the puzzle to add to all seven of these symbols. That death is not the final answer to Jesus. And neither is death the final answer for us. That even though this white sheet reminds us that we're all going to die, there's something waiting for us at the tomb next Sunday. Something joyous, something incredible. Something remarkable that will change our lives. This morning we're reminded, the palm branch reminds us of those times when Jesus has not met our expectations. The cup and the bread remind us that even though those things are true, God is always, always with us. The basin and the towel remind us that we have to serve and love one another. It is something that Jesus commanded of his disciples and demands of us today, not a church divided, not a church hierarchical, but a church of servants. The rooster reminds us of those good times, those good intentions that we try to have and do God's will, only to find our intentions falling short, but that we are recipients of an amazing grace and forgiveness. The bucket of nails reminds us that Jesus experienced real pain, and that no matter what we go through in our lives, Jesus understands. The white sheet reminds us of the frailty of human life, but the promise of an incredible hope that lies ahead. And the judge's gavel reminds us of the decision that each one of us have to make. Who is this Jesus? Is he just someone that people talk about? Or is he your Lord? Is he the one that has truly come to set you free? And will you accept that this morning? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. The words to this next special music are found in